You've all heard of Flat Lonesome. They have a new album that is probably speeding its way to your house right now. The title is Runaway Train. And they just recently had their first appearance on the Grand Ole Opry. So I took the opportunity to grab a couple of them and speak. And at the top of the next hour, Dominic Illingsworth and Michael Stockton. We're going to talk about all the good things going on with Flat Lonesome, their brand new album. Interesting, great band. Interesting conversation with both of them. And it'll get you as close to your first time appearing on the stage at the Grand Ole Opry. If you haven't had one yet, you'll know what to expect at the end. Wonderful band, wonderful album. Just I had a great time chatting with both of these members of that great band. This is perfect timing. We're going to lead right up to the interview with Dominic Illingsworth and Michael Stockton of Flat Lonesome. And we're going to lead into that with a tune from the brand new album, Runaway Train. This is You'll Pay. This is Flat Lonesome. Then we're going to slide right into Dominic and Michael. Wonderful guys, wonderful band. This is just a fun day. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. I am. I'm really happy to have two members of an awfully good young band, Flat Lonesome, on the line to chat with us today on Unreal Bluegrass. Dominic Illingsworth on bass and Michael Stockton on dobro and lap steel. How you doing, guys?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, I'm doing good, too. This is Michael.
Michael, and then the other voice was Dominic, and I'm happy to get to talk to you guys. First of all, congratulations on the new album, Runaway Train. I have this as the third album from Flat Lonesome. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. I got Flat Lonesome. I got Flat Lonesome 2, T-O-O, and then I have Runaway Train. And I've got them all in play, and now I've got the new one. I've made use of it pretty much, and I got very excited. I want to talk about the album, but I was very excited for you guys because I could tell that you were excited by your first appearance. It's not going to be your last on the Grand Ole Opry. And I just want you guys to kind of, somebody like me who's never going to be there, and for the people listening, what the heck was that like?
Michael, you go ahead, give him your piece first. I got to come up with words about it.
Oh, man, I don't even really know how to put into words what that was like. It was, I guess the best way I can describe it is that's a dream that I've had since the very first time I ever picked up an instrument. So I've, you know, obviously practiced and dreamt about it and thought about it for however many years that is.
Uh-huh.
All of that practice and the frustration of learning an instrument and you know, all the practice we've done as a band kind of came together and went into about a 12-minute slot on the Grand Ole Opry a couple weeks ago. And so that was, if you can imagine all of that energy going into that one 12-minute slot on the Opry, it was just... just unbelievable. There's just something about the stage, something about being there at the Opry, the heritage of the music that's been played on that stage. Our music, bluegrass, was born on that stage, so it's.
Oh man, you've given this
very
some
humbling.
Thought. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you said. I mean, all of us have. It's something we never were really, sure that we'd ever get to do. A lot of people play for a long, long time and never get that honor. And so we're honored, and it was an amazing experience. And the rest of the band has just talked about how it's just one of the coolest things that we, we'll probably ever get to do as a band.
Wow.
And it was just really a wild experience for that to come true. It doesn't hardly seem real to me sometimes now.
I can tell you guys are still pretty stoked about it. How did you find out you were going to do it? Let me take you back to that for a minute.
Oh, wow. Well, it all kind of started with our booking agent had been talking back and forth with them. I guess what kind of sealed the deal was we were privileged enough to be on the, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Daily Invention have a brand new TV show that's starting. Actually just started this past Friday on the 5th. On RFD TV, and they asked us if they were kind enough to ask us to come down and be on their TV show. And when we were there, we got to talking about playing the Opry, and they found out that we never had played. I guess the next time they played, Daily Vincent had played the Opry, they asked Paul and Kelsey to go with them, and they kind of introduced them to Pete Fisher, who's the guy that books for them down there. And that was a solid, I guess you could put our names to our faces after that, so that kind of helped with us playing. So that was a big deal for Daily Vincent to help us out with that.
So as you're approaching the stage, I want you to take me through this for a minute, because I'm not ever going to do this. So I want you to take me through it. You're approaching the stage. This is your dream. I can hear the giggling. I know you guys are excited, but just what goes through your mind as you're walking out there?
Go ahead, Tom. Tell them.
Well, I know the thing that stood out to me, with it being our debut, we had so much going on when we first got backstage, pictures being taken, meeting everybody, you know, as you can imagine, because it was our debut. And so it was like a whirlwind up until about 10 minutes before we went on stage. And then it started to sink in. We were done doing everything that we were, you know, into before when we were backstage, and we were over backstage about 10 minutes before we went out. And finally we were just standing there, you know, first time we'd stood still since we'd been there. and it seemed like the longest 10 minutes of my life, you know, waiting to go out, waiting for the two bands to get done that, you know, before we went out. And it was just, I don't know. Maybe you can take it from there, Mike, and maybe tell them how it was like to step out on stage. I just know it felt like an eternity waiting for those 10 minutes before we actually walked out, after we finally got side stage ready to go. It was really something.
Right. I guess one of the big things that stood out to me is when we very first got there, I set my stuff down in the dressing room, my father and I walked out to the stage. And this was before the curtain was up or anything. And I saw all the tech guys running around getting the microphones set up. And there was so much going on. There was probably 50 people on stage doing stuff, setting up instruments, setting up amps, setting up microphones. And the stage is just massively big. You don't realize how big it is until you. And I've been backstage to Opry a few times, you know, as a guest, but I've never played. And it doesn't really set home with you until you go there and you're the artist, how big of a production it is that's going on that night for little old flat lonesome, you know, we're nobody. And they got all these people out there running around setting all this stuff up. And then when we finally did walk out on the stage, that was just escalated even more, because I looked out in the crowd and it seemed like the balcony just kept going up and up, and I never saw the end of it. Because the lights were in the way, and there were so many people in there. It was just a packed house. The crowd was just, they were cheering us on. We had so many family and friends there. They were cheering us on before we even got to play one note of music, and it was just a feeling that like I've never felt before.
Oh,
and we gotta thank, we were fortunate enough to meet Steve Warner.
Oh, yeah.
When we were taping that Daley and Vincent show, like Michael was talking about, and he actually was, as luck would have it, he was there to announce us out onto the stage for our debut, and so that was an honor to get to see him again, and he's just such a nice guy. Everybody there, like Michael said, everybody's there for the band, and especially with it being our debut, everybody was just so friendly. And it was just great. It was just an unbelievable experience overall, between playing, meeting everybody. It was just really amazing.
Michael, did you say your dad was with you?
Yes, sir. My whole family actually got to come backstage with me. My father and mother and my sister.
Wow. Wow. Well, I haven't seen it. Did you get a video? Sometimes I know they do videos. Do you have a video of your performance?
I think there's a couple different videos going around on Facebook.
Okay.
You know, from family videoing it on their phone, but there wasn't really like a professional quality video done.
You haven't seen one. No one said, here's the CD of your performance. First of all, take this to the back.
Right.
This won't be your only time on there. You're going to go back again. And when you go back the second time, you're going to think, yeah, we did this. We killed it last time. And then you're going to go back again. Flat Lonesome, you guys are just starting to cruise above that real thin cloud area, way up there in the atmosphere. The band just sounds so great. I mean, it's just an amazing setup, I think.
Well, we appreciate that. And
thank you.
Trust me, it's so much fun for us, and I'm speaking for Dominic and everybody in the band as well, but we seem like we have a lot of people that are enjoying what we're doing right now, but I promise you nobody enjoys it as much as us six do. We have so much fun with each other and playing. It's a dream come true to get to do what we do.
That's right.
You know, one thing, if we sit around and I say we, just like guys like me saying, you know, everybody wants to get into the future of bluegrass or the present time of bluegrass. When I, to me, Flat Lonesome represents both of those times. You are right in the thick of present bluegrass, and I also look at you as the future of bluegrass. For the sound that you have, it's different than other people's, and it's not just driven by the vocals. I mean, some of the music you play, there's a blues bent to some of the things, but I just think you fit both of those things well. That Flat Lonesome is, you guys are just starting to really, and the other thing, let me tell you this too, your appearance. I will bet you wore the clothes on the Grand Ole Opry, probably stuff that you've worn before, because you have a very professional appearance.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the compliment. And we've talked about this with a lot of different promoters, other interviews and everything. A lot of people comment on that, and we appreciate that gets recognized. Because just like we've told everyone who's asked, we want to try to represent ourselves to the crowd, whether it's people paying to get into the Opry, to a bluegrass festival, to the Station Inn. We want to make the crowd come in and feel like they've paid to see a show that they can look at and respect and enjoy. And so we do it for the fans, like I said, whether it's at the Opry or at a bluegrass festival, like we play every weekend. And that's really why we like to dress up for our fans. It's basically the best way that I can put it. And
well, I think you said the magic word there, Dominic. That and as I go through this show, and I've talked to everybody walking around, and I always ask them about the performance end of being a bluegrass band, and on stage performance, show is a big part of the word that has to be emphasized. That you are making an appearance. Flat Lonesome is making an appearance that lets the audience know, aside from the music, which is top notch, but you let the audience know when you walked out and the appearance that you make, they're there to see a show, and that's a big part of the impression, I think, it is for me.
Well, we appreciate that, and I just want to add that we really hope that people appreciate it, especially on the 100-degree days that we play festivals outside. Sometimes it's not always easy to wear a suit coat.
Well, listen.
Yeah, word.
Listen, man, I'm a lawyer, and I have to wear a suit every day, and I've tried cases in old country courthouses with no air conditioning, and I feel your pain on that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You empathize with that.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
But it was the same thing. If I'm in front of a jury, I have to look like I'm doing something special. So you guys, the music and the vocals, I'm telling you, and each album is great. Runaway Train, it must have hit the same week you guys were on the Grand Ole Opry. It seemed like there was a lot going on at the same time, but Runaway Train to me is just, I've had it in the car, which is what I always do when I have a guest. I drive around and listen over and over and over and over. Boy, it's just a powerful, powerful group of music.
Thank you very much. We're glad that we can get that out to the DJs like yourself to hear. And, you know, the official release date on that is of course, October 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
It is available for pre-order right now at a little bit cheaper price, little pre-order incentive, and you also get two instant downloads if you go and pre-order it, and that's the songs You're the One and You'll Pay, and you can pre-order it through flatlonesome.com. We have links on Facebook and stuff, but we're glad you could get a copy as a DJ and all the DJs out there to get a little sneak peek at it.
Yeah.
Glad you enjoy it.
Thank you, Dominic, for getting the website in. I always want to ask about that. That's important because we all, now in the business, guys, it's just reality. You have to have a website and people can go and find your tour schedule, I assume, and they can also buy not only this album, but probably the first two also.
Correct. And you can get the whole collection, and trust me, if we don't get that website out there, we will be burned at the stake. So.
There's a lot of people that would get us.
Well, I would never let that happen without asking. I don't follow a script on these, but I always let the bands and the artists tell about how to reach them and how to follow them and how to get their merchandise. Let's back up just a second. Dominic, we all know that without a bass player, the whole band just falls apart, and it's like a fish thrown up on the shore with no water just flopping around. You hold the whole band together. Let me ask you about bass playing, and when did you start doing this?
Oh, goodness. I started playing guitar first, and And if you attend our live shows, Kelsey always makes the joke that if you ever heard me play guitar, you'll know why I switched to bass. So, okay, but yeah. I started playing bass probably when I was, probably 17 or 18 years old. Probably we figured it out to where it was right at a year before Flat Lonesome entered in the 2011 Stigma Band competition when the very first time we played together. So I've probably been playing bass, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 years or so. And like I said, I've been playing guitar a few months longer than that, and that's no good at that.
Hey, listen, everybody knows, I know I'm making a joke, but I mean, if you don't have a strong bass to set, lay everything down, then things wander. It just happens. Now, maybe not at a certain level. Maybe the musicians in Flat Lonesome wouldn't, but the audience needs the bass to grab onto, and it's not just, just keeping the beat and keeping the time. You have to emphasize things, and you have to, when there's a moment where you have to kind of spark things up or slap the bass a little louder. It's an integral part. I mean, to me, I'm being dead serious. Listen, I've had Tom Gray on this show, and I've had Charles Humphrey III from Steve Canyon. This, to me, bass is, it's that's where it all starts, and you build around that. And I'm being deadly serious, Dominic, not just because you're on the show, but any live performance, you have to have a bass to nail down what's going to happen.
Well, thank you for saying that. And that's, of course, obviously I agree. but I've experienced those moments when they needed a strong bass to nail them down, and it didn't happen. So
it's all right.
I know what it can feel like when the bass is lacking, trust me, from a personal standpoint. And like you said, that there has to be a good band to catch you when you fall. So I know how that is, too.
Well, you're all working together. You're all working together for the same thing. And
Michael, exactly.
Michael, the dobro playing that you have on here is just, I mean, here's the thing about a band as a unit. You guys operate as a unit really efficiently and really well. And then there are certain songs where Michael, you may take a little bit more of a ride where the song allows it. And, boy, your dobro is just... It's just a wonderful. I mean, I had Jerry Douglas on last week. I didn't ask him about you, but he probably would have said Michael Stockton. That's a guy to look at in the future.
I would just be happy if he knew who I was. But I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, it's just a really tight band. I can't emphasize enough how important that is. There are a lot of great bands of great musicians, but Flat Lonesome and then Runaway Train are all great. This is the one I have in my hand currently, but it looks like a lot of the songs are self-generated within the band. Am I accurate on that?
Yeah, actually we have, I think it's 7 original songs on this record. So and a lot of them were written internally within the band. Paul and Kelsey do a lot of writing, and then Kelsey and Charlie and Buddy, their dad wrote one of the songs on the record. Mm-hmm. And then our manager and pretty much our bluegrass mom, Andrea Roberts, is married to the mandolin player from the Grassels, Danny Roberts. And Danny and Paul from our band wrote a song that's on this record. So we have a lot of stuff that's... our own, and I really, really, really like that about this record. And we've said this before in a couple of other interviews, but I really feel like this record is the music that Flat Lonesome really wants to make. Like with our first album, we came out and we were young and nobody knew who we were, so we wanted to make sure that Buddy and Charlie and Kelsey all sang the same amount of songs and nobody was featured more than the other. And, mm-hmm. And then we had the second record. We were worried about a sophomore slump, so we had to really, make sure we were real weary about what songs and stuff we did on that record. And the pressure was kind of off on this album. And this is the music that we all as the band want to make. And it's the music that just kind of happened. It's not, we didn't really have a agenda when we went in to make this record. It was just, this is what came out, and this is the personality of Flat Lonesome. This is the music that we love what's on this record. And I hope that shines through.
It does.
I think we might have had more fun making this record than we did the other two.
It does, and after you start as a band for a while, like I don't know anything about this. Here's what I believe I've seen in with bands. If you're going to take that next step and where I think you guys are now in that rarefied air part, at some point you have to develop a sound that is not just, you know, because of your vocals or your instrumentation, but that really, if you're writing your own songs within the band, nobody can replicate that. So this album, I do think, this is Flat Lonesome. This is the culmination of your years of practice and doing other music, and now you're starting to say, this is the sound. This is our sound.
Well, I'm glad that that's coming through, because kind of what we're going for.
Yeah, and like Michael said, we're lucky to have great songwriters in the group, and I'm glad they can write, because I sure as heck can't write anything.
But, yeah, I'll second that.
Wait a minute. Are you seconding that Dominic can't write or that you can't write, Mike?
Yeah, we'll go with both of those.
Okay,
yeah,
all right. All right, thank you.
You know, so, and not only are Paul and Kelsey great writers, and of course, the Robertsons, you know, dad, as Michael mentioned, we've done some songs of his on previous albums too. But not only are they great writers, but Paul and Kelsey especially, they know how to write songs that seem to fit our sound. We all have, and we've talked about this before, we all just seem to have largely similar interests when it comes to picking out songs, whether it's originals that we all like, or whether it's songs that we dig up that, you know, not a lot of people have covered, and we all just have very similar interests, and I feel like that helps us a lot as a band, because we all just love to listen to the same music. Not only do we all enjoy the songs that we pick for records, but, you know, when we're all traveling down the road in the van, we all like to listen to the same stuff. We just have, for the most part, similar tastes with a lot of music, and I feel like that might help us as a band, and like you were talking about, you know, also playing together, and just all the things that go into acting like a band, you know.
You have, I'm going to ask you, who chose Still Feeling Blue?
Probably Charlie, I would guess.
I think Kelsey or Charlie.
Now, you guys are too young, you may have gone back and found, but my favorite band when I was learning banjo, because of Alan Mundy, he was a member of Country Gazette, and they did that Graham Parsons song, Still Feeling Blue, a long, long time ago, and it's just,
I didn't know that. Did you know that, Dom?
I knew it was Graham Parsons, but I did not know that Country Gazette did.
No, Country Gazette, back in the 70s.
We got that song from a girl, I think she's from Australia. She does kind of like an Americana country type feel. Her name's Casey Chambers, and that's person that we had heard do that. Then they kind of took it and made it their own. Kelsey and Buddy and Charlie, they used to do that when they were younger, you know, just sitting around the house goofing off, and then we just kind of, I feel like a lot of the songs that we end up recording on the record happen by accident. It's just something that we're all sitting around either in a hotel room waiting to play, or, you know, practice or something, and it just kind of falls into place, and everybody, you know, we all agree right there, you know, that's something that we should record, and then
you're right. You know, you're right, and it's like you said, it just happens by accident. We don't plan it, because I mean, Runaway Train happened the same way. That was another song that they heard Casey Musgraves do, and they've been singing it, you know, as siblings, you know, just singing it for years, you know, and that's the same thing that happened with You're the One. You know, that was a song that Charlie had, you know, been singing on her own for, you know, I don't even know how long. And you can tie that into the past two albums, too. I know off the top of my head, Boondocks from the first album is the same way. That was one that they had, you know, just sang for fun for a long time growing up. So yeah.
Do you guys get chills at all? And I'm talking to Dominic Illingworth and Mike Stockton from Flat Lonesome. Do you guys get chills at all when some of the vocals kind of reach into that higher? Because as you're listening, then the harmony is so incredibly tight, but then there's a little spark that'll shoot up even higher, as if you thought, and just as if they're telling you in the vocals, if, in case you didn't think we could go any higher and still be in harmony, here's a few up way up there.
I can wholeheartedly agree with that, and if you come to any of our live shows, I'm not very shy about that fact either. Every time that happens, and it happens a lot, I make a point to push one of them out of the way and steal their microphone and kind of tell the audience, you know, in a really nice way. You know, I'm sure I'm a little biased because it's my band, but I don't think that there's three better singers as far as people that sing together alive. And that's just my opinion. And I make sure I tell the audience that, and especially here lately since they've been doing that song, You're the One, that's off the new record. Every single time they do it, I get goosebumps on stage. I just cannot help it. And I make a point to tell the audience, look, I mean, these guys are nominated for the 2014 IBMA Vocal Group of the Year for a reason, and you just heard why.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to get much better vocals than what those three can do.
Right, and all of us are very glad. Of course, they're thrilled. I know we can speak for them, you know, as you can imagine, but all of us are very excited that they're nominated for the Vocal Group of the Year, and that's for this year's award show for coming up in Raleigh. And also, of course, the album Flat Lonesome 2 is nominated for Album of the Year, and that's exciting. But, you know, it's their vocals. Harmony is such a big deal in bluegrass music. And they just, you know, they have the sibling harmony, and it's just so strong. And then they can all sing lead just as great as they can sing parts. So they are amazing singers, and that's a huge part of what Flat Lonesome is.
Sure.
And so we're very lucky to you know, to have them and be in their group.
Well, you guys have the whole package. I mean, it's the vocals, it's the musical, it's the arrangements, it's the presentation. In a short while, you've gone to being in a very, very professional band that brings everything to stage and everything to the record, and you deserve everything that you're getting right now. And I'm telling you, it's just the beginning.
Well, we appreciate that very much, and we want to also thank you and all the rest of the DJs that are playing our music, because without you, nobody would hear it. So
you'd all
that's
be,
right.
You'd all be performance artists somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I wish you the best, and the website you've already given out. Where are you going to be in the next, this will air on the 19th. Where are you guys going to be in the next few weeks?
Oh, gosh, let me...
if you don't know, they can go to the website.
The 19th, I believe, that's when we're up at, or it's the 18th, or the 19th.
We'll be at the weekend that this will be airing. We will be down in, we'll be up in Massachusetts, and then we'll be down in Texas on the 18th and 19th.
Okay.
And then coming up, if people want to track us down, the weekend after this airs, the weekend of September 24th through the 26th, we're going to be in Virginia at the Nothing Fancy Festival, Arcadia Bluegrass Festival in Maryland, and Uncle Pen Day.
Cool.
On the 26th. And then
that's always a fun festival. I love Uncle Pen Day.
Yeah. And then we're going to IBMA. So we'll have a big week at IBMA with releasing Runaway Train on the 2nd, and we're playing the Red Hat Amphitheater on
Saturday.
So we've got big stuff coming up. And
and don't forget, my birthday is on the 28th. So I'll take presents through the mail any way you guys want to send them.
All right, Michael Stockton's birthday, the 28th. Listen, guys, Mike Stockton, Dominic Illingworth of Flat Lonesome. I'll be down IBMA running away. I'm supposed to have business meetings and whatnot, so I'll definitely want to. I've not seen you guys live, which is my bad, but I need to do that, so maybe I can catch you down in Raleigh, hopefully.
We did this interview before you saw us live.
Listen, guys.
Things make things.
Nah, listen, you're having fun. You're doing a wonderful job, and just keep doing what you're doing and keep having a good time, and everything's falling into place. The Runaway Train, I think, is, as you've described it, Michael, might be the best statement of what Flat Lonesome is all about for all the reasons you've already mentioned. So I can't agree with you more.
I do want to say one more thing before we get off here.
Sure.
We always make a point in every live show and every time we are given a platform. We want to thank our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for this unbelievable opportunity that he's given us. And it's 100% because of him that we get to do anything that we get to do, because he gave us the talent and the desire to do it. And we definitely don't take it for granted, and we would not be able to do it without him. And because of that, we always try to thank him publicly for that. We try to hold the banner high for him. So
that's right. Yeah, most definitely.
I appreciate you doing that, guys. I'm going to let you go, and thanks again to Dominic Illingworth, Mike Stockton of Flat Lonesome. Thanks for visiting Unreal Bluegrass. Hope you had a good time.
Thanks.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
That's good, boy. Such a good band, too, Flat Lonesome. And Dominic Illingworth, Michael Stockton, you nailed it, guys. Thanks a lot, Dominic and Mike. Runaway Train, Flat Lonesome, great band.